discuss various aspects of the mitzvah of Shiva. Yes, Hashem, on Sunday Shir, we'll discuss the Inuyim of Yom Kippur. So for Sunday, if you can take a look at the Mishnah and the Gemara at the very beginning of the last parak of Yuma, Dafayim Gimel, and also take a look at the Ran, the Rambam sheet, the Tulsus regarding Shah Inuyim, what is Daraisa, and what is Rambam. The Torah tells us in Parshas Yitzavim, V'shavtad Hashem Mokecha, and the Ramban writes explicitly in his Pirushal Torah that this, in fact, is a mitzvah sesei. This is what Rabbi Yonah writes as well, in the very beginning of Shari Tshuva, and this is what you find in the smak in mitzvah nun gimel, a mitzvah of Tshuva. The Rambam Shita is somewhat less clear, because the Rambam does not explicitly write that Tshuva is considered to be a mitzvah. If you look in Sefer HaMitzvos, in Mitzvah Sesei Ayin Gimel, that's where the Rambam writes that the mitzvah should sivano lihizvados ala chatoim, and is obligated to engage in vidui. And even the formulation in the very beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph Halach Aleph, kishiyas tshuva v'yoshu mecheto chayev lihizvados lifnei hakel baruch hu. So the Rambam writes, when a person does tshuva, then there is a chiyuv of vidui. But the Rambam does not write, perhaps as explicitly as otherwise we would have thought, that there is in fact a chiyuv of tshuva. The Minchas Chinuch takes this to an extreme. The Minchas Chinuch is found in Mitzvah Shin Samach Dalet, where the Minchas Chinuch writes that perhaps according to the Rambam Shita there is no mitzvah of tshuva, but rather he compares it to Gerishin, that this is a yisod of our Torah, and if one wants to take advantage of it, obviously one is advised to do so, the method of which is al yedei vidui. However, perhaps there is no mitzvah of tshuva at all. And just as the Rambam writes when it comes to gerishin, in Sefer HaMitzvos, the mitzvah reish chav beis, that the garesh vishtar kishinirtza legaresh, the Rambam counts gerishin as a mitzvah, meaning if one decides to, then this is how it must be done. So the Minchas Chinuch writes that this also is true when it comes to the chiyuv of tshuva. There is a formula, there is a prescription, but not necessarily a mitzvah. Needless to say, the view of the Minchas Chinuch is somewhat difficult. After all, to assume that the ikar ha-mitzvah, so to speak, of tshuva is only rishus, but the ofen asiyaso, the manner in which it is done, is considered to be a chova. How to imagine that vidui is a mitzvah, and tshuva is not considered to be a chiyuv at all. In understanding if that is the case, why the Rambam does not count tshuva independently, there is a comment that the Meshech Chachma has in the Shabbos is Kriya Sator and Parshas Ve'elach, where the Meshech Chachma writes in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, that perhaps tshuva is not an independent mitzvah. We've discussed in many occasions, Hidur mitzvah and the like, is that an independent kiyum? Or perhaps one can argue that no, Hidur mitzvah is part of each and every mitzvah. Meshech Chachma suggests, this interesting chiddush, that perhaps that is true when it comes to tshuva, their taryag mitzvahs of tshuva. In other words, that there is a mitzvah that the Torah tells us, mitzvah sasei, mitzvah lo sasei. And if a person fails to go ahead and do so therefore, right, he is culpable. And a mechanism by which a person can rectify that mitzvah sasei or the mitzvah lo sasei is al yedei tshuva. But perhaps it is each individual mitzvah which creates a chiyu of tshuva, as opposed to understanding tshuva as that which is independent. The possibility that the Rambam would argue that tshuva is not a mitzvah, here, but many point out, Rav Slavetcher commented, that if you look in the very beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, the Prate HaMitzvah, the Rambam begins, even before Halacha Aleph, by telling us the following, that mitzvah sasei achas, v'hi shiyoshuv hachol te'mecheto lifnei Hashem, v'yizvade. The Rambam writes, I'm going to discuss one mitzvah, and that is shiyoshuv hachol te'mecheto. There is a mitzvah of tshuva, it's kimat mefurish, in the Rambam Shita. Why is it that the Rambam then, when the Rambam begins Hilchos Tshuva, stresses the element of vidu? Even though Slavetcher pointed out as follows, that we discussed in the earlier shiur that there are differences between a maisa mitzvah and a kiyum ha-mitzvah. No doubt that the kiyum ha-mitzvah is one of tshuva, but the maisa ha-mitzvah is one that entails vidu. Comparable, for example, to tefillah, where the kiyum is amid lifnei hashchina, but the maisa ha-mitzvah is, right, the act of tefillah itself. And therefore, when the Rambam begins Hilchos Tefillah, the Rambam stresses the Maisa HaMitzvah of Mitzvah Saseh, Lehispalo, L'chol Yom. And therefore, right, even though the kiyum is the avodah shebelev, the Rambam stresses the act. The act of tshuva is expressed through vidui, and that is why the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos Dvar Melachos Tshuva emphasizes the element of the do's and don'ts, the how to fulfill the mitzvah. But undeniably, certainly tshuva is considered to be a mitzvah. That's what the Rambam writes, the mitzvah to say achas. It is, though, interesting as follows, that even if the Rambam and the Ramban agree that there is a mitzvah tshuva, very difficult to assume, as the Minchas Chinuch does, but yet one could still envision critical differences between the Rambam and the Ramban. Because after all, what is the source, what is the pasuk of the chiyuv of tshuva? The Ramban is explicit. It comes from the pasuk of Vishavta Hashem Elokecha. You find in Parshas Nitzavim. If you look in the Rambam, it would appear that that is not the case, because the Rambam writes later in Parag Zayin of Hilchos Tshuva, in Halacha Hey, the Rambam writes, "Ukvar hivticha haTorah shesof Yisrael la'asos tshuva," that the Torah promises us that there will come a time that Knesset Yisrael will engage in tshuva. Where do you see that that is true? The Rambam writes, "Vishavta an Hashem Elokecha." That pasuk that the Ramban cites as the mitzvah tshuva, that the Rambam writes is a haftacha, is not considered to be a tzivui. Furthermore, the Ramban cites the following. The Ramban tells us in the pasuk of "Ki haMitzvah Zos Asher Nochi Tzim Tzavcha Hayom Liflesin Mecha V'Lo Rechokahi." What is the Torah referring to in haMitzvah Zos? We're always used to assuming this is referring to the mitzvah Talmud Torah. After all, that's the pasuk of Lo Bashamayimi. But the Ramban writes Mufurish that's not the case. Ki haMitzvah Hazos is a reference to the mitzvah's tshuva. So the Ramban argues that Vishavta Hashem Elokecha, a reference to tshuva, and the pasuk of Ki haMitzvah Hazos also is referring to tshuva itself. And the Ramban continues and tells us that the pasuk concludes Beficha Uvelvokha Lasoso. What is Beficha? That the Ramban writes is a reference to vidui, and Bilvavtha is a reference to the Charata Saleh. So the Ramban writes that entire Parsha is referring to the concept of tshuva. Mentioned according to the Rambam Shita, Vishata Hashem Lokech, the Ram describes as being a Havtacha. Poshu Pshat Ki HaMitzvah Hazos is referring to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, as Lo Bashamayimi. There is an interesting Marimakom. The Rambam writes in the Geres Teiman that Ki HaMitzvah Hazos is referring to something else. Kamitzvah Zos is referring to the totality of Torah. And what does it mean, Lo B'Shamayimi? That's what the Rambam writes, is the basis of Ein Navi Rishai L'Chadish Davar. That the Torah tells us that this is the totality of the Torah Hashem that I have given you. And the Rambam writes that that's how we know that if a Navi comes and tells us, oh, there is an additional mitzvah above and beyond Tariq mitzvahs, so in such a case, that is considered to be an indicator that he is a Navi Sheker. So whereas the Ramban understands the basis of tshuva as Shachar Hashem Elokecha, the Rambam admits that there is such a mitzvah, but the Rambam links it to what you find in Parshas Nasa, vidui, v'hizvadu, eschatosim, asherosim, vidui, that is the pasuk that emphasizes the chovas hatshuva. In other words, that even though vidui is mentioned in the context of one who brings a karban, but nonetheless, the Rambam understood this is not simply limited to vidui that accompanies a chatos or an asha, but rather it is al kol avera shebetorah, because there is a mitzvah tshuva. So there is a difference between the Rambam and the Ramban simply in terms of what is the basis, what is the makor of tshuva. Is it based on v'shavta Hashem Elokecha, the Ramban, or is it based on the parsha of v'hizvadu es chatosim? Perhaps one could suggest as an afkamina the following. Should we assume that vidui is necessarily the ikuva? Pashem Shat, one could argue that according to the Rambam Shita, vidui absolutely is ma'akev. After all, the whole message of tshuva is taught to us through v'hizvadu es chatosim. And in fact, it would appear from the Rambam in the very beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam writes, Chayv Yisvados Lifnei HaKel Baruch Hu, that vidui is essential. That is considered to be li'ikuva. Perhaps one could suggest a chiddush not mufurish in the Ramban, but perhaps one could suggest the following. Since the Ramban writes that the whole essence of the mitzvah tshuva is based on Vishavta Ad Hashem Lokecha and Ki HaMitzvah Hazos, perhaps one could argue that according to the Ramban, vidui, no doubt, is part of the prote HaMitzvah, but perhaps it is not considered to be li'ikuvu. It's true, the Ramban writes, that the Parsha concludes b'ficha u'bavavcha la'asasa. So therefore, b'ficha means bidui. But perhaps one could envision that this is a din l'chatchil that's not considered to be li'ikuvu. It would be very difficult in the Rambam Shita to argue that vidui is only l'chatchil that's not li'ikuvu, A, based on how the Rambam presents vidui, but B, that is the entire Parsha, that the Rambam says that you glean the Chovas HaTshuvah. So in such a case, it would be unusual to assume that the very context of the Yisvadu Eskotosam, that is simply Pratei HaMitzvah, and that is not considered to be the essence of the mitzvah itself. So Poshim Shat, no doubt, in the Rambam Shita, Vidui is considered to be the Hikuva. According to the Rambam, not necessarily. The Parsha that emphasizes Tshuva does not necessarily emphasize Vidui. And therefore, perhaps one could argue that it is not considered to be li'ikuvah, but rather this is as a mitzvah mubchar, the preferred manner in which one is osei b'tshuva. If you look at the Minchas Chinuch that we mentioned earlier in Shin Samach Daled, Minchas Chinuch is bothered by the following kasha. According to the Rambam, vidui no doubt is li'ikuvah. And if that is the case, Minchas Chinuch is bothered by the following, that the Mishnah in Kedushin and Daf Mem Tes tells us that what happens if a person is Mekadesh and Isha, Amanas Sha'ani Tzadik. And we see that this person is far from a Tzadik. Is it necessary to be Choshish the Kedushin or is it not? So the Mishnah tells us the following Chiddush, that Choshish in the Kedushin. Why? Because Shema Hirher Tshuva Belibo. Because maybe he had Hirhure Tshuva. So therefore, even though we know this person, it doesn't appear that he is considered to be a tzaddik, but who says that that is currently true? Maybe he was mahar her b'tshuva, the Lashon HaMishnah, hir her tshuva b'lima. And therefore, all of a sudden, choshishin, the kedushin. So the Minchas Chinuch is bothered by the following. What do you mean? Now, the Rambam writes that vidui is absolutely essential. So good, the person was mahar her tshuva b'lima. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But is that sufficient? And the Mishnah doesn't say that perhaps the person was misvadeh. The lashon of the Mishnah is shema hir her tshuva b'libo, seeming to indicate that that itself would be sufficient. So how can the Rambam write that vidui is so essential, it's considered to be the kuva? It doesn't seem to be the case at all. And perhaps one could raise a further issue, and that is the following. We know that there are dalit chaluke kapar. Sometimes tshuva alone is considered to be sufficient, but that's limited to an essay. When it comes to an essay, so that's what the Sugi Yuma tells us, that ein el zoz mishon ad shemochim. There tshuva is considered to be sufficient. But when it comes to the averos hachamuros, lavim, or kares, or misach, yol Hashem, so then the Mishnah tells us, no, tshuva is insufficient. You require yom hakipurim, yisurim, Misa, more is required. So therefore, when it comes to Averos HaFamuros, Tshuva is necessary, but it's not sufficient. So what does the Mishnah mean to say that a person who says, Amnash Latzit Tzadik, perhaps that assertion is true because Shema Hira Tshuva Balima? What are we speaking about? A person who only was Mevatel an essay? And therefore, we can apply the principle of Eino Zaz HaShemochino. Presumably, the Mishnah is referring to a person who violated Averos Chamuros. And all of a sudden, he said that, Amanash Sanit Sadi. Why do we assume that here, Tshuva B'libo is considered to be sufficient? To strengthen the Kasha as follows, right? If we're talking about whether a person is a Tzadik, or the opposite, whether a person is a Rasha, a person is not a Rasha for a Bittul Essay. If a person fails to fulfill the Mitzvah Essay, he does not become a Rasha. Right, we assume a Shulchan Aruch and Choshev Mishpat, Simen Lamed Dalel, Hilchos Eidos, that a Rasha is possible Eidos. Who is a Rasha? A Rasha is someone who violates Nisr, Sheishbo at least, Malkus, or Kares, or Nisr. For a Bittul Essay, a person does not become a Rasha. So in such a case, just to strengthen the Kasha, if you're talking about whether a person is a Tzadik or whether he's a Rasha, so how can the Mishnah say that Shema Hira Tshuva B'libo? Achor, that should not be sufficient. For a Rasha meaning one who violated, right, Chavei Lavim, so in such a case, Hira Tshuva B'libo is not enough. But more certainly is considered to be necessary. So how do you understand that in light of the Rambam's halacha of vidui? How do you understand that in light of the Mishnah that tells us that Tzadik and Rosh is dependent on hear her tshuva b'lipa? Perhaps part of the answer, right, is as follows. Rav Slavichik, this is printed in Al HaTshuva. This is a theme that Rosh Weiss has discussed at length as well. They point out that the ramification of chet is a twofold. Number one, that chet is mechayim. It creates a certain sense of indebtedness. And number two, a chet is netameh. Now, a chet certainly impacts, right, on the persona, the gavra, on the individual. In turn, there are two elements to tshuva as well. Tshuva must secure kapara, tshuva is mechaperes, but also tshuva is mitaheres. Tshuva has to address those two fronts as well. Rav Slavichik pointed out how meduyik in the pasuk, ki vayom hazeh yechaper lechem, letahereshem. There are two elements to the process of tshuva. There is kapara, but also there's an element of tahara. If you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav, the Rambam writes, when a person commits an avera, right, he is on one level, and tshuva means that now he is a different person. The language of the Rambam is emesh, that hayazes sonim nifnei hamakom, shukatz, ruchak, v'toeva, right, before the person was, right, an abomination. V'ayamhu, ahu, v'nechvad, karov yadid. The Rambam writes, al yadei tshuva, all of a sudden there's a transformation. That transformation of gavra, from being a sonim to being a yadid, that's not simply kahara. Right, that's the element of tahara. And that's why tshuva must have a dual effect, right? Yechaper lechem, letahareshem. Both are considered to be that which is vital. The fact that there are two elements is evident from the pasuk, right? Yechaper and tahareshem. Perhaps this is also what we refer to in Avinu Malkeinu, that we recite Hachazireinu b'shuva Hashem lefanecha, and separately Slachu Machal Lachal Avonoseinu. Slachu Machal Lachal Avonoseinu, that emphasizes kapara. That's slicha b'chilu kapara. We should be granted kapara for an avera. Hachazireinu, right, is much more than that. That means that the person should return. That means on the level of tahara, that the person should be affected by the process itself. There are two brachos in our Shmoneh Esrei that seem to deal with the very same thing. The bracha of Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha, of Harotze V'Tshuva, the fifth bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, and the sixth of Slach Lano, Chanun Hamar Ben Nisloach. Why are there two brachos that are devoted to the theme of tshuva? Poshut Pshat, it reflects these two themes. Chanun Hamar Ben Nisloach is referring to kapara, slicha on the level of kapara. However, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha, Harotze V'Tshuva, that is affecting, right, our relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu, not just simply whether there is an indebtedness or whether there is not. And the Chiddush perhaps is the following then, that it's not really that there are two halachos, but these two halachos are not necessarily dependent on each other. One could envision kapara without tahara, and one could perhaps even envision tahara, right, without kapara. Kapara without tahara, right, one could certainly envision. Perhaps Kadosh Baruch Hu could say that, you know, I'll wipe the slate clean, that indebtedness no longer exist, your onus is erased, but nonetheless, in terms of gavra, right, that doesn't immediately change. Let's assume, for example, Rebbe Shita, in Yuman Daf Pehei Mudeis. Rebbe has an incredible chiddush, that Itzumel Shoyom Mechape. Itzumel Shoyom Mechape, the potency of Yom HaKippurim is so strong, it can secure kapara even if a person doesn't do tshuva. So let me ask you a simple question. Yeah? A person is a Russian who's kashal eidus. But so Yom Kippur, according to Rebbe, everybody becomes kashal eidus. Is that really the case? Rav Slavichik maintains certainly not. Rebbe again, very meduyak, Yitzumo Shiyom is mechaper, kapara. It's possible, right, to be mocha individually, even if he's not fully deserving of mechila. But if you're talking about his status, his credibility, his closeness with Kadosh Baruch Hu, Right? That's Tara. Rebbe never said that Itzumel Shoyom Mitaher. Itzumel Shoyom Mechaper. But the person would still be Posel Eidos. Because Psule Eidos is not dependent on the level of Kapara. That depends on Gavra. Is this person a Sanui? Is this person a Yedid? That certainly is not going to change at that particular time. The Gemara describes, for example, if you have a Mesachit Bekuvi, the Sugya Sener Dav Chafei. So the Gemara says that Ema Sechaz Arasl. How should he do Jum? So the Gemara says an extreme. Yishir Shabru Pasko Sehen Afilu Bechina Mo'amne. He says, smash the dice, even to the point that he won't even play these games for free. Here is Zohar Soloveitchik was bothered that why is that necessary? What's the problem with Safik Bekuvia? Well, one possibility is Ena Masuka Mishuma Shalom, the Gemara says. No, a compulsive gambler, right? He's not linked into society. He's not a constructive force. Or perhaps a more technical problem of Gzela, because Asmach Elokanya. When the person gambles, he really doesn't intend to give up the money. Therefore, if he loses, the one who gains is taking the money, Shalokanin, Asmach Elokanya. But either way, why do you have to say Mafilu Bechino Mo'avne? Tshuva requires that you never play cards. Don't play cards for money because that can involve a problem of gezel. You can't play solitaire. What's wrong with that? No? Bashem Shah, the answer is the following. Rav Soloveitchik maintained, Kapara does not require Mishi Shabra Pisco Seva. That's true. Kapara means that a person avoids Naver. But Tara requires, as the Rambam writes, a person avoids the derech techet. Now, if you're talking about the level of the person, whether he's sanui, whether he's meruchak, or whether he's karo, so technically speaking, that the person does not do the avera, that is not necessarily sufficient. Right? A person has to renounce. A person has to see to it that the conditions which brought about the avera, right, are no longer present, are no longer relevant. Those are halachas of tara. Those are not halachas, right, of kapara. Clearly one could envision the possibility of one who could attain kapara, right, without attaining a full sense of tahara. If you look in that Gemara, in Yuma Daf Pei Hamudbeis, that's where the Gemara says, according to Rebbe, that Itzumel Shoyom Mechaper, even Bli Tshuva. So the Tosas Yishanim, and that Daf raises an amazing kasha. But take a look, Tosas Yishanim Pei Hamudbeis Yuma. Tosas Shanim writes, if that's true, Rebbe Shita, Itzumel Shoyom is Mechaper. Tosas Shanim asks, so Lama Charav Habayis? So why is there a Chorav based on English? In other words, the Tosas Yishanim assumes that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash must have been because of an accumulation of Chataim, and years of Chataim. All of a sudden, you commit a faith now, Kadosh Baruch Hu destroys the Beis HaMikdash. Tosas Yishanim can't envision that the Churban HaBayis was simply because of Chataim of Knesset Yisrael from Yom Kippur until already, right, Tammuz and Av, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It must have been a culmination of years of, no? So that's the kasha that Tosas Yishanim raises. How is that possible? According to Rebbe, Itzumel Shoyom is Mechaper. The slate is clean, right, every year. So therefore, how do you envision a calamity? How do you envision a Churban HaBayis? Here Rav Asher Weiss answered that Bashur Shat is as follows. According to Rebbe, Itzumel Shoyom is Mechaper. But Itzumel Shoyom is not Mitayim. And if we are Zochet to Binyan Beis HaMikdash, or Zman Letzlan, we have a Churban HaBayis, it's not the function of Chiyuv in Kapara, Chiyuv in Ptur. That's a function of our closeness, our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chet is Mitame. Are we Royal for Hashra Sashkin? And even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechasta, Itzumel Shoyom is Mechaper, but that does not necessarily mean, right, that we are fit for Hashras Hashina. In other words, that Siluk Hashina, Churban HaBayis, is not an onesh for a particular chait, but rather it's a function of the broader level of Knesset Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu says it's as though that I cannot exist. B'mother Echad. So even if technically speaking one is granted kapara, but if it's without tahara, without elements of tshuva, so in such a case, right, that will not bring about the binyan beis hamikdash, nor will that necessarily delay a churban habayis. So it could very well be that it's no stira to assume that we attained kapara, but nonetheless, the beis hamikdash was in fact destroyed. So one could certainly envision, clearly, right, that there is the possibility of kapara without tahara. Perhaps one could envision, interesting chiddush, maybe the opposite is true as well. Perhaps one could envision tahara without kapara. Maybe perhaps there is still an indebtedness, there is still a chiyuv, even though we've attained tahara. Now let's assume, for example, a person borrows money, and he owes me money, and he doesn't pay me back. You know, why doesn't he pay me back? If the person is lying through his teeth, right, and he absolutely denies that there is such a chov, and he refuses, I would argue his refusal for priyas chov is not only mechayiv, but it's metame. No? It affects the character. Let's assume, for example, a person borrows money from me, and he comes to me that he wants to pay me back, he intended to do so, but unfortunately, he's in despair, he's down and out, he doesn't have any funds. What would you say about a person? Right? That's tumas hafeit. But is there an indebtedness? Well, of course, the person still owes the money. There still is a chiyuv, there still is a chiyuv tashlumin, there still is a chiyuv piron, even though one could argue that the person is very responsible, the person is very reasonable, the person has done everything he possibly could, we won't fault, but nonetheless, undeniably, there is still a level of chiyuv. Perhaps one could argue the same thing is true. Let's assume, for example, a person could attain a level of sincere tshuva and tahara. Could one still envision that there is a need for kapara? Perhaps yes. Because after all, Rosh Hashanah expects it this way, that they're dalet chiluke kapara, but they're not dalet chiluke tahara. In other words, let's assume a person sincerely does tshuva. He could attain tahara. Sometimes for certain averos, you require more than that. Right? You require yisurim, yom kippurim, misa to be machaper. One could envision that the requirement of kapara was not necessarily fully met, even though a person is very sincere at this moment. And a person has attained a level of tahara. In which case, let's say our second kasha. How can the Mishnah say that Shemi Her Tshuva Blibo? And now a person is considered to be a tzaddik. But what do you mean? Aren't there dalet chiluke kapara? Maybe more is necessary. Maybe he has to wait for Yom Kippur. He has to wait for Yom Kippur in order to secure full kapara. But Betoras Gavra, tahara could be attained miyad. And in that Mishnah, if you want to know whether the person is a tzaddik or whether he is not, that bechor is a function of tahara. That's not a function of kapara. Just because Rebbe says that Yitzum Hashem is mechaper, Rebbe would not argue that that's automatically a kiyum hatznaya of that kedushin, because the person said amanash ani tzaddik gamur, and now it's motzei Yom Kippur. Rebbe would argue kapara doesn't make you into a tzaddik gamur. That's a question of litaharis. And perhaps one could argue the first kasha in the same way as well. Vidui. Is vidui the ikuva? Perhaps one could argue as follows. Vidui is ma'akev kapara. But vidui is not ma'akev tahara. If a person sincerely, v'shavta an Hashem elokecha, in such a case, a person can attain tahara. But just as there are chaluke kapara, sometimes formally speaking, kapara requires more than just a change of heart. Yom Kippurim, Yisurim. So perhaps vidui also, right, is part of that obligation as well. So perhaps that's how one could suggest to resolve, right, the two issues. That when you're talking about the kiyum hatzav mishnah alma shani tzadik, in such a case, there are concerns that kapara. Our concern there is one of tahara. And tahara does not necessarily require vidui. Tahara does not necessarily require anything other than earnest and sincere tshuva. In fact, if you look in the Rambam, it's meduyek in the following sense. When is it that tshuva is necessary? So if you look in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes, Kol mitzvah sheva Torah, when it comes to any mitzvah, if a person violated, right, the mitzvah sasei, the mitzvah lo sasei, so therefore tshuva is needed. If you look later in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel, the Rambam speaks about a different type of tshuva. The Rambam writes, Keshem shitzarech adam lashuv me'ilo. Just as the Rambam has to do tshuva regarding these, up until the Rambam has spoken about averos, the Rambam writes, kach utzarech l'chapes b'deos hara'o, suyesh lo, v'lashuv me'en. A person has to engage in tshuva from deos ra'os. And v'cheinu omer, the Rambam writes, that's a pasuk of yazav rosha, Darka, Bishav and Ashrozav. You have to do tshuva for, right, Deos Raos. So it's an interesting Kiddush that there's a concept of tshuva for a particular daya that a person has, for a midah or for a daya. And Hara number two, which is a more technical one, is that the Rambam does not mention this in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva. When the Rambam sets the stage and tells us when tshuva is necessary, the Rambam doesn't discuss any of these things. A person has a midara, a person has a deira, the Rambam doesn't mention that whatsoever. When the Rambam, much, much later in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Tshuva, all of a sudden the Rambam speaks about, right, this new subcategory, this new concept of tshuva itself. Perhaps one could argue, right, as follows, that these are the two prakim that the Rambam has as well. In Perek Aleph, where the Rambam stresses vidui, there the Rambam is speaking about kapara. How does one secure kapara? Kapara is for al mitzvah shevetor. Mitzvah shevetor. Can we speak about kapara from a day or a? Right? A person has an intellectual position which is incorrect. A person says, I believe A, and it's not the case. So, kapara is necessary. When the Rambam describes kapara, the Rambam limits it to mitzvah shevet Torah. But in Perek Zayin, the Rambam discusses the tiferes tshuva, the ability of tshuva to, right, transform that individual. Right? That's our term of tara, litares. In that particular case, we're speaking about the element of tara, very mistaken. Right? Tara is only limited to a particular avera. Let's assume, for example, a person has a deira, that doesn't affect the individual. A person has a nidara, that doesn't impact on his very character. And interestingly, it's in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tshuva that the Rambam writes that concept of emesh hayezeh sanui and hayom hu ahuv. No, the Rambam places this in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tshuva. When the Rambam is speaking about that element of tshuva, even from midos raos, for deos raos, right, that's the considered to be the tshuva, as a form of tahara. And just as in Perek Aleph, the Rambam does not mention this at all, the Rambam waits till Perek Zayin, just a further hara, and that is in Perek Zayin, the Rambam does not mention anything about vidui. The Rambam only mentions vidui in the earlier form of tshuva. So perhaps that as well, the Shita said. When you speak about vidui, we pointed out that's part of kapara, that is not part of tara. So the Rambam speaks about tshuva from a particular avera, that's the Rambam writes timely his vados. When the Rambam speaks about chipus, which is necessary for deos raos, for minos raos, in such a case, there the Rambam does not emphasize the role of vidui. That's not considered to be the kapara. Right? That is considered to be, right, that particular element of tahara. So perhaps that could account for, right, the dual basis, right, that you find in the Rambam Shita. When you go back to that Rambam in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes that what is it that we refer to in terms of vidui? What elements does it entail? So the Rambam writes that first Hakara Safet is necessary, and then Charata, and then Kabbalah. So the Rambam stresses the element of Vidui. As you know, the Rambam writes that it's a threefold admission, a threefold recognition of Hakara Safet, Charata, and Kabbalah. And this is what Rabbi Nebuchai writes in Chavos Lavavos, this is what Rabbi Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva, right? The threefold process of Vidu. It is quite surprising that when you look at, let's say, our Vidui, right, in terms of the Tefillah Sayam of Yom Kippur, it seems unusual that it doesn't seem to emphasize these three elements. Right? Everybody learns what is the Vidui? Hakara, Charata, Kabbalah. When you look at all of our Vidui, our lengthy Vidui Yom Kippur, all of it seems to be a sense of Hakara Safek. No? Avon Achnu Chatanu, Alchesha Chatanu, Ashamnu. All of it is a recognition of the fate. One would have expected that should be one third of the Tefillah. No? Then you should go on to the Charata. And then you should go on to the Kabbalah Asim. And it's quite striking that that doesn't seem to be the case. Where do you find the Kabbalah Asim in the Shemoneh Esrei? That one line, Shlo Ech Ta'od. And we have in the very end, kind of an addition, no? And a person says, I won't do it again. But it's surprising that it has such a parenthetical placement. One should have expected that, you know, you're spending hundreds of lines, right, on the Hakara Sachet, that perhaps the same thing should be true when it comes to the Charata and the Kabbalah as well. And even furthermore, when you look in the Rambam, in Perek Aleph, as we mentioned, the Rambam has the three different tiers and the three different requirements of Vidui, of Hakara Sachet, Charata, and Kabbalah. And then when you look in the Rambam, in the next paragraph, Beis Lachaches, when the Rambam tells you the Nusach of the Vidui, the Rambam writes, what is the Iker HaVidui? Aval Anachnu Chatanu. What do you mean Aval Anachnu Chatanu? What about Charata? What about Kabbalah? These kashas seem to be quite pressing. Now, the Rambam Perek Beis emphasizes Avon Achnu Chatanu. This is exactly what we do in our davening. There's hardly a mention of Charata and hardly a mention of Kabbalah. Rav Asher Weiss suggested a very great chiddush, and that is the following: that perhaps in Perek Beis, when the Rambam emphasizes vidui, there vidui means vidui dvarim, the need to articulate vidui. Maybe an achinami. That is limited to avlan achnu chatam. Maybe vidui bepeh, vidui dvarim, only requires hakara sachet. And that's all. And what about the Rambam in Perek Aleph? Right, when the Rambam speaks about, right, the three requirements of Vidui, see, Rav Asher Weiss suggests interesting chiddush, that in Perek Aleph, when the Rambam speaks about Vidui, perhaps Vidui should not be understood as Vidui v'peh, but rather Vidui as a synonym for Tshuva. Right, Vidui means an admission, like a Hodos Balvin, or Vidui myself. If you interpret the Rambam Perek Aleph as Vidui means the formal requirement of Vidui Bepeh, it's very difficult, because our Vidui Bepeh does not contain these three elements. Nor does the Rambam Vidui Bedvarim in Perek Beis contain these three elements. And why does the Rambam go on in Perek Beis and describe the Vidui Bedvarim if this is, after all, the Vidui that the Rambam has been speaking about for the entire Perek? So perhaps one could argue, it's somewhat of a chiddush, that again, when the Rambam emphasizes the chiyuv of vidui, the Rambam in Perek Aleph, talking about the broadest hagdar of tshuva, is not referring to vidui bepeh, that the Rambam will get to. Here the Rambam is referring to vidui as tshuva. The tshuva requires hakaras hachet and charat and kabbalasim. But the vidui bepeh that the Rambam writes in the next parak, writes an interesting chiddush that perhaps avon achil chatan is considered to be sufficient. And even we are mefarit the chet, that's all part of the hakaras hachet. The formal vidui is recognition of what we have done. The charata, right, is not necessarily articulated, but that's the mindset of tshuva. The same thing perhaps is true when it comes to the case of the Kabbalah Balev as well. Without that, it would be very difficult, right, to be able to, again, envision those elements. Perhaps a further difference between Kapara and Tahara is the following. One could certainly envision partial Kapara. Partial Kapara. Let's assume, for example, a person violated a series of averas, and each aver requires kapara. They're not machmizes, eh? It's not like dalet minim shevelulav, but it's all or nothing. Kapara is all or nothing. One could certainly argue in terms of kapara, right? Each avera has a sense of independence. One can secure kapara for avera A, but not for avera B. A person owes five individuals a certain amount of money, but it's all or nothing. You can't pay back one without paying back the other. And even if I owe the same individual, if I can't pay him back 100 cents on the dollar, I shouldn't pay him back anything at all? Certainly not. One could envision a mitzas peron. That certainly is true when it comes to kapara. What about when it comes to tahara? When it comes to tahara, the chora very mistaver. That tahara, each avera, is affected by the other. After all, in terms of the madrega sa'adam, so they won't argue that there's no relationship being between A and B. And what do you mean they all impact? And that which the Rambam describes in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Teshuva. Maybe one could even go a step further, that when it comes to tahara, maybe not fully, but to an extent, there is the concept of all or nothing. You know, the whole mashal of Tara, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, that's what Rabbi Akiva says. But no, that just like a mikveh, the Tara said to me. When it comes to Tara, there we know that, you know, you don't have a quasi, a partial Tara. If a person has a particular type of tuma, let's say a person is Tovel, and there is a Chatzitza, we don't assume that somehow that so 95% of the body is fine, and the 5% remains was not right levi asmayim. There we assume that chatzitzis poseles legamrei. One can understand that in the realm of tahara, when you're talking about the individual, whether karuv, ahuv, and so on, there, right, there is certainly an interrelationship between, right, the various averos. When it comes to kapara, then one can argue that there's a dependence. Rav Zhulti writes a fascinating diuk in the pasuk. Ki v'yom ze yechaper leichem. Right? There's kapara. And the pasuk continues with tahareshem, tahara. But then the pasuk adds, tahara is mikol chatoseichem. What does mikol chatoseichem mean? And we usually think kol chatoseichem means from each aver individually. Right, you're going to secure kapara for any one of the averas that you violated. Maybe, perhaps, no. Maybe pshat in the pasuk. That's what Zhulti suggests. Is tahara must be mikol chatoseichem. Kol chatoseichem. Right, because after all, mikveh Yisrael Hashem. That's the mashal of chatzitza. Right, that it impacts. Right, the tahara is incomplete. Right, if a person, right, did tshuva for A but not for B, the kapara. Right, that, no doubt, is something that is independent. Perhaps a new possibility of mikol chatoseichem, lifnei Hashem titaru. Lifnei Hashem titaru kind of is a complete immersion. It's not something that can be possibly independent. Rav Zhulti suggests that perhaps that's the uniqueness of Tshuva Yom Kippur. Because the Rambam, as mentioned, does not emphasize Yom Kippur as a new mitzvah tshuva. The Rambam just points out that there's certain times that are suitable for tshuva. Certain times are more auspicious for tshuva. Zirshu Hashem b'yimatzah. Rabbi Yonah, for example, writes that no, there's a separate mitzvah tshuva. Aside from b'shachar Hashem l'kecha, every moment of each day, there is Lifnei Hashem Titaru and Yom Kippur. So if one should argue that there are two different chiyuvim, so what's the difference between the mitzvah of tshuva each and every day as opposed to the unique mitzvah of Yom HaKippurim? So Rav Zhulti suggests as well that difference. That in the mitzvah of tshuva each and every day, right, then each avera is independent. Right, that means on Yom Kippur, right, we're judging, right, the essence of the individual. What the Rambam describes in Perek Zayin. So perhaps that's part of the added emphasis of Yom HaKippurim, right, of Lifnei Hashem Titar. Right, so, l'chor, it's clear. Chet is mechayim, chet is metameh, shuv is mechaperesh, shuv is metaheres. These were some possibilities simply in terms of, right, nafkaminas, right, in terms of the koach hashuv, in terms of the derech hashuv, right, and then perhaps again, that one could envision these different elements, even when it comes to the vidui itself. Rosh Weiss once suggested the following, that perhaps, right, the vidui, even if you interpret the Rambam's vidui of all three elements, maybe one could argue that kapara requires all three elements of vidui. The vidui, which is the shem tahara, maybe avlan achnu chatanu could in fact be sufficient. And maybe if one doesn't accept a further kiddush, and we mentioned earlier that vidui in Perek Aleph just means tshuva. It doesn't mean vidui devarim. It means vidui as the act of tshuva. But perhaps there are possibility of the differences as well. Kapara requires, right, the formal Hagdara, but perhaps in terms of Tara, as we mentioned, there, the Rambam Perek Beis, Olach L'chatanu, that is considered to be sufficient, and perhaps, right, that is part of the essence of our tefillahs. Okay, Mitzvah Shabbat Sunday, we'll discuss the various Inuyim, Shai Inuyim Daraisa, Shai Inuyim Drabanan. We'll talk about this Rav Achila Shniyanya Yom Kippur itself, and Mitzvah Shabbat Shiurim, we'll discuss Inyan Nisukas. Thank you.